It's Black Girls Laughing.
You're tuning in for the dope takes on current events.
Oh my gosh, that was kind of right.
It's my version of it.
Oh, you're okay. All right.
It's my version of the intro that Alrighty. You made. So, what's We're up? Back. What's up? What's up?
I'm back in Colorado after a dope ass time in Philadelphia.
Yeah. If you guys haven't listened, we had a live show. It's up. You can check it out on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast and Stitcher and all of our other platforms. But you can hear, you know, us with a real live audience.
It's pretty freaking rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just so nice to see people, to have people laugh with us. Like that, I think that was the coolest thing, was just like, oh, people do laugh with us when they're listening, because they're laughing right now in this room, so
yeah,
this is pretty dope.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom, and she's like, did you like it? I mean, and I was like, well, yeah, because like, we laugh at ourselves all the time, but to know that other people actually laugh at us too is like, great. It's the best. Yeah,
it is absolutely the best. Oh, it was so much fun. And thank you to the Philadelphia Podcast Festival and the Philadelphia Podcast Society, and all the work that they put into making this festival happen. They had over 50 shows. They had some really big names come through too, like Call Your Girlfriend, I think Sawbones, just, you know, podcasts that have been around for a while that have really good followings. And then the local community was supported. Big shout out to the Black Tribbles who followed us. We pledged our allegiance to Tribble Nation. I am Garnet Tribble.
And I am K Tribble.
Yeah, who is not surprised?
No one is surprised. And I was like,
did you make a new friend? Did you become friends with that guy that's like all about K-pop too? Or
we chatted. He hangs out with like cool people and producers that hang out with K-pop people when they come in to town.
Oh, whoa.
So I was like trying to get in there, but I felt like he thought I was trying to get in there a different way, and that's not, I was just like, no, I just want to know when Jay Park comes into town, dude. Like, we ain't gotta talk any other time. I just want to know, like, do you get tickets before everyone else? Like, do you have early access passes? Like, that's all I'm looking for.
I'm trying to get a meet and greet.
Like, that's all a girl wants. But no, we chatted. He followed us on our page on Facebook, so I'll have to check him out. Maybe I'll reach out and be like, hey, wanna talk K-pop? Or like, are you gonna go to this concert when it comes into town? But he was going to see G-Dragon, who I don't like.
Oh yeah, you were saying that. So, yeah,
which, like, if anyone that listens to K-pop listens to this podcast, they might start coming for me because he's been in the game for a decade now, so.
Okay.
He's just not my cup of tea, so there's that. But it was cool. It was really fun hanging out with the Tribbles and seeing them in action. It was, I mean, seeing all the people laugh was great, but really the best part was, like, having you back in town and eating chicken and hanging out and
getting. We threw down. We threw down on Friday. Like, that was the best night of my visit. We ate the Korean chicken. We did all the karaoke.
Yeah, we did. We sang every song. We did multiple sake bombs.
Oh, my gosh.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful time for friendship.
Yeah, I woke up the next day, my body was like, what did you do? You drank all of that? You don't even drink like that in, like, regular.
Same. I mean, last night I worked an event, and I had two beers. And at the end, I was like, I should not have opened this third one because I am feeling groovy.
Feeling groovy.
All right.
All right, so let's, like, you know, do the damn, let's do the damn thing. Let's get right into the John.
Get it. Let's do it. Oh, God. Yeah. I've been watching too many people, certain people on the internet that say that all the time too much. So now I find myself saying it as both serious and a joke, and it stresses me out. But anyway.
I don't even know what you're referring to. So I'm just.
There's this K-pop star that likes to be really corny, so he always says, "Let's get it," in like this stupid ass voice in this show that I watch, and I feel like I've heard it so, you know, you hear something so many times that you like start to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So now I like
just, so said you're just that. Saying it, you're
I just said that. That
it's in your vernacular now, it's no, too late.
No, I don't want it. But anyway, moving on to the John. By the time this comes out, hopefully you guys are already aware of what's going on, what happened, what's happening, have read up, have become a part of the conversation in a positive and productive way. But there are people right now calling for a protest of The Breakfast Club. If you don't know, The Breakfast Club is a morning radio show. They do YouTube. They do video too, because I've only ever seen it in video form.
Mm-hmm.
But it has people that you can look it up, because I don't actually know everyone's name. I only know Charlamagne.
And like Angela Yee is the other name that I know, the woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't listen to it, so I'm not like completely well read on who's on it or what their purpose is, except for like being garbage. But I guess now everyone is on the train, but for I don't want to say like, now you're on it, but like it's really important that people are on board if they hadn't been on now, because they had a guest recently. Well, they had two guests, so I think it's important to say who they had first. They had Janet Mock on the show. They talked with Janet Mock. If you don't follow her, she talks about her experiences being a trans woman all the time and how much it influences everything she does, because it's important. And she has a big platform and books and people that follow her. So she does a really great job at like always centering that in all of her conversations on all of her platforms. And as Brie was saying, which I'm not surprised that people were nervous for Janet Mock to go on the show, because as I said, The Breakfast Club in general is trash because Charlamagne is
an asshole. He is a provocateur, and he likes to be an asshole, and he says things to rile people up, and we could be like, he's yes or no on believing what he says, but he says some bullshit. He's a bullshit artist.
Yeah, and I don't find him, I feel like he's like says stuff and he's like, what, I'm being funny, but I like have never personally ever found him funny. Like even when he guest appears on other podcasts that we listen to or guest appears on other TV shows, I'm like, but you're not funny to me. Like nothing you say is funny. So people were nervous for Janet Mock to be on the show, but apparently it went well. Good, great, awesome. And then they had Lil Duval
on the show. Who the hell is Lil Duval?
Good question.
I hear that he's a comedian, but I've never seen him on any stage.
I've seen his face. I don't know where. I don't know why. I don't know how. But
is he one of those Facebook comedians?
like King Batch or whatever?
Like, I often find myself lost in, like, church Facebook, where there's, like, those church comedians that, like, make jokes about going to black churches, and I'm always like, I kind of get this, but I don't.
Like, oh, yeah. I don't know who he is or why he is, really. But he made a not funny comment about saying if he ever slept with a trans woman, he would probably, and he didn't know, he would probably kill them.
What?
Yeah. So there's a full clip, I suppose. Yeah, we should share it on our social media this week. because I feel like a lot of people listening to us might also like The Breakfast Club. And again, like, I guess be your own person, but know that trans black women get killed more than any other person in the United States. So it's not, it's not funny, especially following Donald Trump's tweets about trans persons no longer being welcome to serve in our military. It's like all compounding, and I've seen a lot of really unfortunate tweets of people being like, why are you trying to tear down something that's for us, meaning black people? And I will repeat this till I die, that if you aren't for all black people, then you're for no black people. And that includes our trans, black trans sisters. So, there's that.
Yeah, that is just some straight bullshit. how could you even go on a radio show and say that and think that that was a joke? Like, that's just being the most asleep.
And then everyone laughed.
Everyone laughed. Everyone just took it like it was just, or like it was nothing.
Or didn't say anything. They laughed or they didn't say anything. So, like, that is a moment where, you know, we learn in school the concept of constructive criticism. It's like when you critique something because you want someone or something to be better. That's a good moment to implement constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. Even if they are your, quote, friend, or you, quote, like them.
Yeah, I mean, have they, like, said it? Has the Breakfast Club said anything about that comment? Like, no?
I've yet to see anything, which I think is why the boycott started, because everyone's like, so are you gonna say anything or nah?
I mean, because that's their responsibility, is to say something about it. Because, like, yeah, you can't control anyone that comes on your show and what ridiculous thing comes out of their mouth. Like, so yes, hashtag Breakfast Club boycott. And now we're moving on to talk about a queen. The queen of politics right now. Everyone's favorite auntie. Maxine Waters. So, you know, she's always making the news. She's making the news a bunch this, you know, because she's been the only one, not the only one. It's her, it's Kamala Harris. It's, you know, black women holding it down. Listen to black women. If we just listened to black women, we would never be in the situation that we're in right now. Because we all know who we voted for, right? So Maxine Waters has created another movement by being the strong, independent woman that she is, and just being the arbiter of no fucking bullshit and on under her watch. So she, you know, she is a representative, a congresswoman out of California. If you don't know, get your shit together. She's probably like one of the longest serving Congress people. So Maxine Waters serves on the House Financial Services Committee. And she was questioning the Secretary of the Treasury and one of their hearings. She had a very, very simple question. She's like, are you familiar with my letter that I sent you guys on May 23rd with the, you know, with several other Democratic members of this committee? Why haven't you answered my letter? So the Secretary of the Treasury, I don't know his name, someone from Wall Street, you know, because, you know, Secretary Manchin was trying to not answer the question. He went on to start flattering her. Oh, Honorable Maxine Waters, so great to be in front of you, blah, 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 blah. as a way to eat up the time that she's given. She's only given 5 minutes to drill him to get answers. So he's trying to go into some bullshit, go into some stuff to eat up the time. That is what this administration does. They eat up time, but through flattery, through other BS, by like explaining who the fuck they are, even though everyone knows who they are. Just a lot of song and dance so they don't have to tell the world all the terrible things that they're doing. So they were trying to they were trying to pull this bullshit on Miss Waters, and Auntie was like, oh hell no. So she started using the procedures of the Congress. She's using those tools and she says, reclaiming my time. So he starts going into some bullshit. Like, no, reclaiming my time. Maybe you missed this. Here's the question that I'm asking. Why didn't you answer my letter? And then he goes into some bullshit about something that has nothing to do with the simple answer of why. I didn't answer your letter because of what, or an answer is coming soon. You know, just whatever you're supposed to say. She's going to reclaim her time. The secretary tries to make it an issue that she's the one that's out of order, but she is following procedures. He's like, oh, the head of the committee, she's not letting me speak or answer these questions. She's like, nah, she's following the rules. You need to answer the damn question. She's reclaiming her time the way that she's supposed to. So this has become a hashtag across the world. Because, you know, when Auntie Maxine claps back, we're all here for it. And we see it as a freaking movement. I'm reclaiming my time all over the damn place now. You can't answer my question right? I'm reclaiming my time. It is time to, you know, you need to take time for yourself. I'm going to reclaim my time, center myself, and deal with the things that I need to deal with. Reclaiming her time has become self-care. An execution of self-care. It becomes a clapback to mansplaining. Because shit, I'll be using that whenever someone tries to mansplain me. Reclaiming my time. I don't need the BS. You're not here to take away my precious time of living. Because I don't care if you're inside of the Congress, in a meeting, at your job, if you're just talking to your man. You might need to reclaim your time sometime. So, and women across this nation, across this world are doing it. And thank you, Auntie Maxine.
Reclaim your time.
Reclaim it all day. I'm about to reclaim my time after we record this show. Take my ass a bath and relax.
I reclaim my time every day by not talking to other people. Because I'm awful in the best way.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So hashtag reclaim your time all the time. Reclaim my time. Reclaim your time.
Reclaim
it. Reclaim it. Reclaim it.
I reclaim in the name of the Lord.
In the name of this lovely Lord.
Reclaim it.
Reclaim. So, we're gonna end it. We sandwiched it with good, with bad. We had a good sandwich. We started with some bad. We had some good. We're gonna close it off with some bullshit. Because that's how we do. We love to close it with the bullshit. So the John's gonna end with hashtag no Confederate. So if you've missed it, and people have been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. The creators of the show that you know, most of America loves, especially white America, Game of Thrones, is the two showrunners have decided that they have figured out what they want to do for their next show. And their next show is going to be a reimagining of the world, pretty much. What if the Confederacy won? And what world would we be in today?
Well,
so no one wants this show to happen.
Well,
a lot of people were mad. And rightfully so. Why do we need that? Why do we need that? When we barely have talked about and fixed the problems post-slavery. We've barely moved, like, we've moved forward but haven't really gone very far. Why do we need this show?
Because they want to know what it would be like if they could still legally have slaves.
Yeah. I mean, like, the first thing that I thought, I was like, oh, this is like some freaking weird, sick fan fiction for people that wish that they could have slaves.
Yeah.
And that's what modern day slavery looks like. I mean, I can see some, you know, I can go deep into my mind and figure out some arguments for a show like this. But then I'm like, no, those are all stupid. Like, all those arguments are stupid. We can examine we've already examined the horrors of slavery, so why do we need to imagine what it would be like in the future?
Why do two white people get to tell us what it's like for slavery?
Exactly! You guys have done such a poor job with people of color on your show. You've done such a poor job even with women on your show. Why do you think you should do this show?
I'm confused.
And who's going to be writing the show with you? Who's going to be in the writer's room? Because by saying this is what you're going to do, then I better know there's only one white man in the writing room, and it's all black people in the writing room.
LOL.
That's the only way I'm going to be okay with this. Like, in this reimagining, is there going to be a revolution in it? Are we going to be, is the Confederacy going to be falling in this world? Like, what is this world about besides being fan fiction? Because, like, I never liked that one show that's out that Amazon has that it's the Nazis won. They have a whole damn show about what if the Nazis in Japan took over the United States. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. Because again, there's tons of racism. There's tons of bullshit. There's lots of people dying. They're killing all the Jews in the damn movie, in the damn show. Why would I want to see that? And we know what the Confederacy would have done if they won. They wrote it out. They had papers. You think that they just fought a war and no one was sitting in the war room figuring out what they were going to fucking do next? No, they knew. They wrote it out. There's a movie. There's a documentary called The Confederate States of America. And I invite everyone to go watch that because it is a mockumentary that takes those papers, takes the fact that black people had been humiliated through through commercials and advertising and the antebellum South and antebellum America across the United States for so many years. I mean, Aunt Jemima still fucking exists. So, like, and it makes like a history, like, they imagine the world where it's like, where you live in this Confederate States of America and you're watching a documentary on the History Channel and it's going through what they did as they move forward. And it's all based in their papers. What they wanted to do was sell slavery across the world.
Oh, good.
was they were going to enslave everything south from the United States. It was just going to all become the slave making capital of the world.
Sounds beautiful.
Like, so we already know it. Why do we need to make another thing? Why do we need to make this thing? Go watch the Confederate States of America. Know what the hell that they were going to do. Go actually teach the real, like, teach what really went down. Teach Well, like, the one most fascinating thing with the Confederate States of America was that it showed the fallacy that only that slaves were only picking cotton and doing physical labor instead of, and like showing that there were slaves that were intellectuals, that were inventing things, that were doctors, that were learning law, that knew how to read because that was the work that they had to do. Like, go watch Confederate States of America. That's actually a Spike Lee joint. It actually has a little bit more care over what was made, and it's like, yeah, it's a mockumentary, it's a satire, but it makes artistic sense, at least to me. This is gonna be some bullshit. And Black and Twitter has come together to say, hell no. Thank you to the women of Black Girl Nerds for like getting everyone moving together to talk about this, because I hope that they're seeing it. They're out there printing out these stories so they can say, maybe we don't need to make this. Or maybe we need to put some of these people in the writer's room with us. Maybe we need these people consulting with us to make sure that we don't make some bullshit. Or the best thing, don't make the damn thing. Like, that's the best thing. Don't make it.
There's a thought. I am not surprised. I have not been following this hashtag too closely, except for like the initial why it started, what it's about, what they wanted to make the show. I think it's just some pornographic, and not in like obviously the sexual way, fan fiction. People just want to be like, ooh, what would it be like if we still had slaves? Or like, maybe they're interested in being like, see, life isn't as bad just because you're being shot in the street for wearing a hoodie or for playing in your neighborhood playground. It's not as bad as slavery. You could still be a slave right now. So that's what everything sounds like to me, and that's why even as I talk right now, my head is down because I'm really just ignoring all of this, because I don't care about these two white dudes. I don't even care about Game of Thrones. And I, as always, the hashtag of the millennium, not surprised, still disappointed.
Yeah, it's just like really disappointing for me, because like Black people have been been loving Game of Thrones. Like, there is a huge community, especially on Twitter, around live tweeting and talking about Game of Thrones. Dem Thrones trends every single week. Like, we like this show despite the bullshit of having, you know, white savior Daenerys. Like, but despite all the Black people being, you know, castrated, like, for the bull, like, and so that's like, and that's like, so like, you don't care about it, but so many of your brothers and sisters do care about this show, and it's just like, I hope they listen too, like, because we can't see this firestorm of people coming out saying fuck y'all for this and then there not be a and there not be a true response. And like, it's on HBO, baby. We know HBO can do the right thing. They're doing the right thing with Insecure.
But they're never, they probably have projected views of the show based on what they get for Game of Thrones. So like, I highly doubt that. I will hold out hope.
Well, today, I will be, because I'm watching the show tonight, and I'm watching Game of Thrones tonight, because I'm invested, but I'll be using hashtag no Confederate instead of hashtag Game of Thrones, or hashtag Dem Thrones, or any of the Game of Thrones fan hashtags I've been using. I'll be using no Confederate because that's what the Black Girl Nerds told me to do to let them know how upset we are I mean, this is the type of protest. If you care about this show, you are interested, you want the, you've been given your money. Like, how much money by watching the show, by having an HBO freaking account, to buying any of the fan shit that's out there for being like a hard ride or die, you know, I'm a blurred that loves Game of Thrones. If you're buying freaking, I got a freaking dragon egg. I went to a, you know, I went to the Game of Thrones event at Eastern State Penitentiary. I'm invested in this shit. I got to sit on the Iron Throne and almost cried. Like, you know, this is shit for people. But, you know, you can't have 7 years of loving something and they come and fuck, and they come and like fuck it all up because their next thing is gonna be a slap in the face to your black fans.
Yikes.
So hashtag no Confederate all tonight on this Sunday that we're recording. And maybe we'll get some response by the time this episode drops.
They'll say something. Yeah. Fingers crossed, y'all. Fingers crossed. All right. Moving on?
Moving on.
To You Better Work? Is that what we're still calling it?
This is, like, actually real about You Better Working. Like, it's about work. It's about, when you're ready to sign those hiring papers.
Ooh.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about job search. We've talked about a lot about, you know, trying to kick ass in your job. We've talked a lot about having your own side hustle. I want to talk a little bit about reading the fine print. Really understanding what you're signing when you are starting off with a new employer. First things first, when you are trying to start a new job, you have to, like, it's hard for women, it's hard for black women, but we always have to negotiate. The other thing that you must do is get your benefits in writing, understand how your benefits work completely before you sign papers. A lot of jobs put you inside of probation when you start. You know, you get 3 months, 6 months, and certain benefits don't kick in. Some of us take risks based off of that. I mean, it's a risk for anyone to say, I can't take vacation for 3 months. You don't know what's going to happen because vacation time isn't always relaxation and going on vacation. Sometimes it's mental health, and sometimes it's something that you do for sick time. Sometimes it's for taking care of other people in your family. So to give up being able to take time for those things can be a risk that anyone's taking. So read and understand, because you might be told that you can't take a sick day for 3 months, or you can go negative or any of those things. Read the fine print and figure out what's happening. Are you accruing at that same time that you're not allowed to take? So when you're able to take time, you have time to take from? Really understand those policies, because again, you never know what's going to happen to you. Like, your health, your wealth, your good fortunes could, you know, run dry for a little while. And you want to be able to take care of things and not it be a hindrance to the rest of your life. That's why You Better Work. Read the fine print. Truly understand. And if you're going to take that risk, truly understand what risk you're taking.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm confused on, like, now when I think about this, like, jobs do calls to your previous employers so they can learn what kind of employee you are before you get hired. So I don't know, if someone's not making a comment of like, oh, they take off a lot of time for like, or just even just a general comment of like, they take off a lot of time, what is this idea that you have to wait a certain amount of time before you can take any time off? Like, life doesn't stop when you get a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the universe around you doesn't stop when you get a new job. Like, I could get a new job tomorrow and Septa could break down and suddenly it's like impossible for me to get there, or it takes longer than the time I had allotted, and there's nothing I can do about that. That's outside of my control. Getting diagnosed with MS is, I mean, obviously if it wasn't your control, you wouldn't.
I would have opted out of that, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to my boss about, like, you know, a coworker who had to take care of their ill parents, and she left because she had to keep traveling back and forth from one place, and like, that takes a big toll on you physically and mentally and emotionally to be taking care of your ailing loved ones, and especially your own parents. So I mean, these organizations got to get hit to that. Like, I can, there's some work that I can do without, there's a lot of work, actually most work that I can get done without looking right at you while exactly. I'm doing it. If I'm responding to emails, if you're asking for XYZ and you're getting it, why do I need to be sitting in the same room or the same building as you? Why can't I be home with my sick mother, giving her soup every few minutes, or checking up on her every like hour or so, or making sure she's taking her medicine every 4 hours, and also be doing work for you and Skyping you for meetings if we need to see each other face to face, or taking phone calls, or I mean, everything pretty much is digital now, specifically in the worlds that we work in.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just very antiquated. It's an antiquated idea of human resources and understanding how to manage your human resources. I mean, there's a freaking reason why a lot of places don't even call those departments human resources anymore, because it takes away the humanity of the individuals. You know, it's called people task, and the people group, and the people making sure that people are treated like people. Yeah, I mean, it's just antiquated, and we have to recognize again, like exactly what you said, that people have full lives, not just the job that they work in. And if jobs are saying that they're people centered and that they're people focused and they love people, that they need to think about the policies that they have that do not serve people. Saying that people that okay, we'll have a little safety net of some hours you can go negative on, and like we'll let you like literally like kind of like sharecrop some time for you to get paid today, but you know we need you to make it up tomorrow. Is BS. We live, our work is so digital. It's so digital. And yeah, it does feel nice to talk to someone face to face, to get that question handled. Like, you can just walk down the aisle, like walk down the hall and get it done. Like, I'm a huge person of that. Like, at my old office, instead of calling someone, I would get up and walk to their cube. Like, I just thought that kind of shit was stupid. You know, I need you to proof something. I'm gonna print it out and bring it to you. But I also know I can email my remote workers and they'll get it done fast too. Like, and if people need to, like, sometimes we just need to get over that idea that it's nice to be in front of people. If you can't manage a team remotely, maybe you don't need to manage a team. I don't know. Like, not even saying that that's the case in what's happening with me. But, like, again, read the fine print. Understand what you're signing. Understand these policies. And understand what harm you might be doing, could be doing to yourself. You know, we still need to take jobs. It's going to turn me into a communist more and more, man.
Don't say that on the air. Now they're going to assume I'm a communist, like,
Sympathizer.
I don't even know the full spectrum of communism. Don't lump me in with them.
I don't want to be a communist. All I know is that this capitalist system doesn't work.
No.
For me. That doesn't work for a whole bunch of us.
Nobody.
So.
And I don't have a check it, but if I had one, it would be check the fine print. To go along with this week's You Better Work. So double time reminder for you all.
Check your shit.
Check all. Check everything. All right. Moving on.
Let's move on.
Do you have an anxiety corner for this week?
I mean, I kind of spoke my anxiety in my jacket and my You Better Work, but
I mean, I can like talk 40, about mine.
A and 45 not. Specific one. No.
I guess mine isn't specific to 45. It's just, I guess, the idea that, I mean, y'all are out here, like, putting your faith in John McCain, and I'm just like, why? Are you all masochists? Is everyone a masochist? Like, collectively, do we like pain? Like, is this what the universe is telling me? Like, this is what you're into? Like, the M of BDSM? Because you just, like... want pain inflicted on you by these people that you're putting your hopes, faith, and healthcare dreams in. And the idea that a diagnosis of brain cancer would shift someone's moral and ethical compass is a lot to ask of anyone, especially like a capitalist garbage dumpster fire. And just because someone served in the military doesn't mean that they actually have the interest of all people at the heart and at the center of everything they do. So I'm embarrassed for all of you that ever put an inkling of faith in him. And I'm happily embarrassed by the fact that this bill still has not gotten passed, because it's a dumpster fire, and it's really humorous at this point right now to watch people just fighting with each other within their own parties, and Donald Trump having the audacity to say things like the world is watching you, as if the world isn't watching him attempt to pass legislation via his Twitter account. So that's my quick synopsis. My quick and dirty anxiety corner with no timer. I'm sure I actually did 2 minutes this time, since I didn't have an actual timer.
I believe you did it. You did it. Like, I was looking at the time. You did exactly 2 minutes. All I have one minor one, because you talking, and I heard 45 was said a few times, and I'm anxious about North Korea. I'm anxious about missiles. I'm anxious that we don't have a State Department that will do diplomacy, so we don't have to have a bloody war. I'm anxious that instead of using diplomacy to talk to North Korea, we are posturing by showing our strength and our force. Because if you want to upset a madman more, it's by showing your dick in this way. Like, don't. P- put it away and go talk. That's all we need. I thought you were the king negotiator. Negotiate some shit so people don't have to die.
He won't die.
And listen to Obama. He told you that this was the number one threat to the world. Let's actually do something about it.
He won't die, so what's it matter?
They're talking about shit. Missiles that can hit all the way to Chicago at this point.
Again, he won't die. None of them will die. So why do they care? Why should they care?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been so very clear that this is about dismantling the United States as any way that it's existed. But yeah, anyways. I'm anxious about that, because you know what? That's barely on the news, and that's what scares me, too. No one's thinking about this. It's all about freaking Scaramucci. I don't care that you put some prick into the White House.
Nope.
He's funny. It's funny shit to laugh at, but that's not what's going on right now.
Okay. Moving on. I'm pretending you did... Oh, that was 2 minutes, too.
That was 2 minutes as well. So. Like, everyone... Maybe we don't need timers anymore.
Maybe our bodies just know, like, oh, you gotta be quiet now.
Anxiety over. Release. Done. All right. Move forward.
All right. We gotta power through. Power through this last half of the show, because I got stuff to do.
You gots to go.
But do you have a throwback jam? Are you skipping the throwback jam?
I can't hear the cool music that's happening at your block party right now, so I don't know.
It's not even my block. Yeah, so if you guys can hear anything in the background, it's a block party that's happening on the next block over, but it is pretty much right below my window because I live right on the corner of my block, so I'm at this flow of both blocks, so you might be able to hear music. And if you hear any good throwback jams, which they've been playing all afternoon, that can serve as the throwback jam for this week.
I have a throwback jam, though. And it's in celebration of Girls Trip making $30 million in its opening week. And it being the first movie starring four women, of black women, since Waiting to Exhale. So my throwback jam is Shoot.
Shoot, buddy.
No, it's not that song. No. How's that song? Whitney Houston song.
I'm singing it in my head.
Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right. But that song, what is that song called?
Google. Work.
I'm Googling. I'm up in here. I'm in here. Exhale. It's just called Exhale. Shoop shoop. Parentheses. Shoop shoop.
Shoop shoop.
Shoop shoop. Shoop shoop shoop. Shoop. Shoop, shoop, shoop.
Okay. Thank you for that. It was beautiful.
Because I can't believe that was the last, like, huge blockbuster for black... I mean, I'm not surprised. Disappointed. Yes. That it took 100 damn years. Like, when did that come out? Like, that was like... I was a child. Like, I was a full-ass child. Like,
you think I'm a note? I was a toddler.
Like, you, like, yeah, you were, yeah, you were still trying to figure out how to use a shitter. Like,
exactly.
Like, so, what?
Yeah, not surprised. Still disappointed. Exhale by Whitney Houston is the throwback jam, along with everything you hear in the background. All right, giggle, cackle, roar.
Yes.
Hit it up. Go, girl.
Oh. Okay. I am roaring for a new Netflix movie, The Incredible Jessica James, that is starring the beautiful Coco Queen, Jessica Williams. It is such a freaking great movie. You're gonna freaking cry when you see it, BK. Like, you're going to cry because it's us. Because she's like a drama teacher trying to like write her plays and is like dating in the real world, and it's like all like I felt triggered at times. It's like shit. This is like shit that I have gone through from all of it, from the kids that she's working with her spunk for the world, from having to deal with family, like being the girl that's like in the big city when you have to go back to see everyone else that's not in the big city. Like, all of it was just very relatable. And what I loved about the movie the most is that, like, any actor, actress could have played the incredible Jessica James. But I'm so happy that it was Jessica Williams and not Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
I don't know who's the hot white girl right now, but any of those, like, whoever's the hot, like, quirky white girl could have played this role. But it was Jessica Williams, and it also championed the awesomeness that's awesome black women. She was at this one line. The guy was like, "I really like you." She was like, "Of course you do. I'm fucking awesome. Like, everybody likes me."
I need to say that more often.
Yeah. So when some dude's like messing over you and you're like, and he's like, "But I really like you." You're like, "Well, duh. Who doesn't?
I'm wonderful.
Who doesn't want to be my friend? I'm cool.
Like, have you met me?
Like, I'm cool as shit. I do cool things."
Duh.
And it was just cool. I love that that was the punchline, because that is something that is so black woman, of like being the most confident and affirming of yourself, and that to the point that you kind of use it as a joke. Like, of course I'm the bomb. Like you use it as a good punchline of like, yeah, I'm the shit. Duh.
Get with it. Get hip. I will watch that. I will say that with confidence that I know I will.
No,
watch
it was
that.
Made. It was made for you. You're gonna sit there. You're like, this is just me. This is like, I'm waiting for you to come back and be like, it was me. It's me.
I don't sound like that.
Sure.
Well, I'm giggling, but I'm not giggling at anything except for that my birthday is next Saturday.
Holy shitballs.
Or this coming Saturday. Yeah. So I will be a whole 26 years old August 5th. And I have been reflective of 25 years. And really the last few years I've been in Philadelphia, because man, I have gone through so many changes, and I'm just feel like 25 is ending on multiple positive notes, and I'm very, very thankful for the wave of positivity I've been experiencing in my personal and professional life, and I hope it continues. But if it doesn't, I'm glad that I have things in place to help keep me afloat. Maybe not paddling or swimming very far, but still afloat in the water. And this podcast and Brittany are two of those things that I know I have that will always keep me afloat, but have also just been awesome, positive things to end the year with. And I thank you all who came to the live show, who listen, who miss us when we disappear and are excited when we come back, who have jumped on board recently, who, you know, just thank you. And I'm excited for 26, I guess.
26 is good. It's not 27.
Oh, it's 27, like the best of the best?
Huh? No, I was like, there's like the 27 curse. You know?
I don't think I'll be surprised if I die of alcohol at 27. I can barely drink 2 beers.
It's not just alcohol. You can like just go crazy, you know? Like you can just like snap. Like
I mean,
again, anyone. That could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
You don't have to be 27. You can be a whole, 50 and snap. So,
yeah.
The 27 Club is stupid.
Yes.
Who, like...
The 27 Club is for people that unfortunately may not have had the resources or education to have things to help keep them afloat in the instance that they do snap.
Well, and then it also glorifies, like, a lot of issues. Like,
substance
abuse and that being a part of genius. And I feel like it pushes young people in that direction of being of using for creativity and not caring that if, they live or die.
The artist must be troubled. Like, yeah. You can't be an artist unless you're troubled. Yeah, I have a friend who actually did her whole undergrad thesis on the idea that you must suffer a mental ailment or be mentally troubled to be a good artist, and like how toxic that narrative and that idea
so
is,
toxic.
And how we glorify, she even talked about like glorifying stress, and like as artists we're constantly, especially working artists, like constantly looking for the next project or the next whatever to like be a paycheck or something, and like how being in this cycle just adds to that. So,
or that you need to be busy to be productive,
or a person,
yeah, like busier than thou, like just being busy for busier's sake and not actually moving anything forward.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that is the absolute worst. And I just actually watched a documentary called something about like being miserable to be like you have to be miserable. Like Misery Loves Comedy was what it was called. I watched it on the plane. It was the worst. It was the most wasteful 2 hours of my life. Because it proved that no, you don't need to be miserable, but plenty of people are miserable as comedians. Well, my biggest beef was is that they talked to one black person, one black comedian. Of all of these comedians, I didn't even know who all of them were. they talked to one. It was Whoopi Goldberg. And it was because all the white people wanted to talk about how Richard Pryor was so important to them. And so they had to bring in Whoopi Goldberg to also be a person of color to talk about Richard Pryor. Like, you couldn't even have a Kevin Hart in it. Like, there's like, you couldn't have Chris Rock in it. Like, what? But anyways, stupid movie.
Sounds like trash.
Tribeca film festival movie though.
Oh, of course.
That's what tricked me.
You got duped.
Oh.
All right.
Anyways. That's a show.
All right. That's a show. You can find us on the internet. At blackgirlslaughing.com, on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing, on Twitter, at BLKGirlsLaughing with no G, on our personal Instagrams, I'm at BKNIGHTLYBNightly.
I'm Bree Hines, BRIEHINES, Bree Hines. And you can leave us a lovely, lovely review on Apple Podcasts. You can just leave us a cute message on SoundCloud. Make sure that you are subscribed. And if you are loving the show and you have other friends that want to laugh with us, let them know.
Yeah, share us with your friends.
Yeah, we'll be back soon with another episode. your friends in your head will be back.
We will be here.
We love y'all. Peace.
Come on.